Okay, we are going on in our study of the Larger Catechism, question number 193. And we're just going to go tonight about halfway through the answer. It's quite a long answer. We have repeated it many times now, so we are just going to go over the first half of it, ending with those words that say, or by our own industry to procure them, getting our daily bread. All right, so let's just do the first half up to that point where we say, or by our own industry to procure them. All right, what do we pray for in the fourth petition? In the fourth petition, which is, give us this day our daily bread, acknowledging that in Adam and by our own sin, we have forfeited our right to all the outward blessings of this life and deserve to be wholly deprived of them by God and to have them cursed to us in the use of them, and that neither they of themselves are able to sustain us, nor we to merit, or by our own industry to procure them. We'll stop right there tonight. Now we pray, give us this day our daily bread. And it is a good thing for us to pray that every day, acknowledging our utter dependence upon God, because we are absolutely dependent upon Him. Now, we not only don't deserve our bread, but we deserve to have it cursed to our ruin. Food, drink, clothing, and shelter will not simply be to our blessing on their own. They have to be blessed by the Lord. I saw in an email from Ukraine, a dear lady had asked about her house. She had left it behind with her grandson. She and her grandson had fled because some of the family were killed and they were making their way westward, and her home was destroyed by a bomb. It was gutted. It was so pitiful. But we know that our food, our drink, our clothing, our shelter will not do us good without the blessing of God upon them. They are not able to sustain us without God's providential hand. Nor do we merit them. Nor do we earn them or simply procure them by our own industry. Jacob put it so plainly back in Genesis chapter 32. Genesis chapter 32, Jacob was coming before the Lord in prayer, and God had told him to go back. That's the only reason he was willing to go back, is because God had commissioned him to go back. In Genesis 32 and verse 10, I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands. Look at the verse right before that, verse 9. And Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, the Lord which says unto me, return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. The covenant-keeping God had spoken, and so he felt bound in the covenant that he would go back in obedience to the Lord. And we are totally dependent on the providence of God every moment that we live. In what God commanded Jacob was the right thing for him to do. Whenever we follow God's command in anything, then our case is on solid ground. Now, we are Americans. We are free. We are independent. That is our mindset. But we dare not think that we can get what we need simply by our own efforts. Our breathing, the beating of our heart, the functioning of our nervous system and muscles, our power to think and make decisions, all of these depend continuously on the good providence of God. We are very dependent on God, for in Him we live and move and have our being. Acts chapter 17, verse 28. Some of you know my dear first cousin who lived for many years over on the next house just over beside my sister to the west. And my dear cousin is several years younger than I am, but for more than a decade, he has been living in a nursing home. And he was a thriving young executive, making piles of money for his dear wife and precious four children. His company sent him on so many important trips to other countries to deal with other executives of other big companies. And I have to say about my cousin that he does love the Lord. And he's lived fervently for Christ. But for this awful number of years, he's lived in that nursing home because he had several mini strokes that disabled his ability even to know how to get home when he was even in his own neighborhood. He couldn't get home and couldn't even use a cell phone. But we love him, and we are so sorry for him, his wife, and all of his precious married children and grandchildren. And I think about him that it doesn't take much. Just the providence of God allowing a little problem in a mini stroke to disable a man, disable anyone, it's so sad. Farmers may plant wheat, but a single hailstorm can totally destroy a crop. Men may build ships, but the storms, a ship can be sunk on its first voyage. We remember the most famous ship, the Titanic, on its maiden voyage. The ship that couldn't be sunk went to the bottom. And we see some of the video of those men that go down, men and women going down and looking at it, and so pitiful. But every single detail of our lives depends on the Lord and upon His great providence. So it is not our ingenuity. It is not our acumen, our labor that enables us to acquire wealth. It is that, but it's much more. It can only be accomplished with the loving kindness and faithfulness of God. Let's turn back to the book of Deuteronomy for a moment. Deuteronomy chapter 8, and let's look at that passage once again that we read not terribly long ago. Deuteronomy chapter 8, beginning there at verse 11. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, And when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, who led thee through the great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee to do thee good at thy latter end. And thou say in thy heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. And I often think about my dear cousin who was providing so well for his family until he was stricken with those many strokes. And so sad to see that. But we are absolutely dependent on the providence of God. All of these systems in our bodies are dependent on the Lord to keep them operating properly. If we forget the Lord, if we forget that he's the one who blesses us, we will begin congratulating ourselves like old King Nebuchadnezzar did. You remember that? He said, this is great Babylon, which I have built. And the Lord turned him out to pasture for 7 years so he could graze like an animal and grow feathers and claws like birds. So let us not forget. Work hard, yes. Fear God, but recognize your dependence upon him. And how can we do that better than this? Than by praying sincerely every day. Give us this day our daily bread. Even when we have the privilege to give to others that are in need, let us remember that God gave alms to us so that we could give alms to others. God is so good in his giving to us. He not only gives to his children so abundantly, but he gives to his enemies. Matthew chapter 5, verse 44 and 45. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. And young people, remember that goes for your siblings as well. If you were ever persecuted by your brothers or sisters in the home, then you need to do good and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. For the Father makes his Son to rise on the good, the evil and the good. And he sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. The dew that falls on the lovely wild flowers, that same dew descends on the thistles as well. Well, the first word of the fourth petition is give. Give. By this word, we are recognizing that all the good things in this life that we enjoy are gifts from God. So when we ask him, our motive should be that this may bring glory to God. Why are we asking him to give us something? We ask him for food. We ask him for our needs. We ask him for help. But what is the motivation behind that? That we may glorify him, that we may serve him, that we may be a blessing even to others. It should be that we would live zealously in God's will and for his glory. That should be our motivation even in asking for daily bread and help. We should pray differently when we ask God for daily bread than we do when we ask Him for forgiveness of our sin. Now, I want to say a little about this. We should pray differently when we pray for temporal things than when we pray for spiritual things. Now, I'll give you an illustration of this in just a moment. But in temporal things, we are to pray conditionally. If it be thy will, and if it be for our good, as well as for thy glory. The temporal things. We can ask Him, and then we can leave it with Him. And we can rest contentedly on what God supplies and be satisfied with what He supplies. But when we pray for spiritual things, like pardon for sin and grace to be sanctified more and more, we must not let God go. But we must continue to besiege the throne of grace for those very things, praying and refusing to be denied, as Jacob said in this 32nd chapter of Genesis in verse 26. He said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. As he was wrestling with the angel of the Lord, the pre-incarnate visit of Christ, he said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. And so when we pray for daily bread, yes, we can pray, Lord, please supply, and thy will be done, and I trust in thee, I'm submissive to thy will. But when we pray for sanctification, what do we know? That is God's will already. We are told in Paul's epistle, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification and the forgiveness of sin. We are to earnestly pray and trust the Lord for that. Okay. Now, I want to share something that has blessed me for many years, and that is, there are so many answers to prayer regarding food for families. Families with large numbers of children. And I think about Jacob and Kelly often with 8 children. And I said, man, when we fed 5 children, that was a lot. But the Lord provides. And Henry Erskine was a minister in the Church of England, a very faithful man of God. And at the time of the Great Ejection, he was thrown out of the church, meaning he lost his ministry in that church, he lost his income, and he also lost the roof that was over his head. So he had to leave. And he just was very destitute in his circumstances. And this dear man, Henry Erskine, was the father of 2 famous Erskines. In fact, Erskine College in Due West, South Carolina, is named for the Scottish Erskines. And if you've ever heard J. Vernon McGee actually graduated from Erskine College, one of the more famous guys from there. But the Erskines were Marrow men. That is Ralph and his brother Ebenezer, along with Thomas Boston. And I was sharing with Ray and Mary Ellen before church this book by Sinclair Ferguson about the whole Christ. And of course, the question was put to that minister, and his preparation for coming to Christ and repenting of sin and trying to clean up the life. But that's not the gospel. The gospel is coming to Christ. And Christ will clean you up when you come to him. But anyway, they had nothing to eat in their home. Once he and his family had their evening meal, there remained neither bread, meal, any meat, or money in the house. In the morning, the young children cried for their breakfast, and their father endeavored to divert them and did what he could at the same time to encourage himself and his wife to depend upon that providence which feeds the young ravens when they cry for food. While he was thus engaged, a country man knocked hard at the door, called on those within to come and help him with the load that he had on his wagon. And Brother Erskine said, "We're not expecting any provisions today. Maybe this is a mistake." He said, "No, these things have come from Lady Rayburn, and she asked me to bring these provisions to Mr. Erskine here." They told him he must be mistaken and there must be some other Mr. Erskine in the same town. He replied, "No." He knew what he said. He was sent to Mr. Henry Erskine, and he cried out, "Come and help me off with my load, or else I will simply throw it down off the wagon." Well, then they went out and they took the sacks from him. And upon opening, they found the wonderful provisions of all kinds of food items that the family needed. It was a mighty answer to prayer. And how wonderful that God answers prayer. So let us remember, day by day, we are to ask for our daily bread. We are to depend upon the Lord.